second, third situation they wouldn't. But these other teams just walked. So I said, I'm going to beat that son again. So we had a day off, and we're sitting there at home. I'll never forget where, and we had a game in our home ballpark, this team that's pitched, that pitches to me. And I told my wife, I said, you better come to the game tonight. I'm going to hit one home run. I think I'll probably hit two. And I could say that in Japan. I couldn't say that I'm going to hit a home run off a dry day or in the state. But that's the way I felt. I could just turn it on in Japan, and I just was that much better. I just outsmarted them, and I knew what they saw. So, okay, we'll be at the game. So I had a little Honda motorbike. I used to ride down to the train station and then take the train to the ballpark. So I got on this little Honda, and I had a little hill I went down to, and I saw this little delivery truck. He started pulling out, so I pull off the side, and that son of a gun didn't see me, and he ran me right into this wall there and knocked me off my bike. I said, boy, my leg is hurting bad. So my wife runs down there. There's only a couple houses down from where I left the house. They took me to the hospital, and I had a broken leg.
Mm.
So 11 games left. I hit 311, he hit about 319. If he'd have kept playing and I start putting pressure on him, I think I would beat him on home run because I just got cocky enough to, but I'll never know. And do you know they fined me for getting hurt when I couldn't play? I think they fined me like $250. I said, wait, it's not my fault I got hurt. Jeez, I'll never forget that.
The fans like the American players? Because this was, you're only talking 19, 20 years after World War
II. Well, I mean, I remember going down to some of those towns and playing, Yankee, go home, go home. But they liked me. I guess I became the favorite of all of them because I just changed baseball so much, and they called me the monster, and I couldn't walk down the streets without, I was big anyhow, than on television all the time. I'll tell you, I was a Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Mantle all wrapped up in one over there. They really treated me like a national hero, really, and baseball was the sport. I understand now soccer's kind of taking over. Their attendance is down a little bit in their baseball, but then see, the following year I was on a two-year contract, and that really irritated me. I had this general manager, I don't know, he must have went to the same school some of these general managers in the States did, because we was talking contract before last, and I had hit I had hit 287, 93 RBIs and 36 home runs the year before, and we just talking about a two-year contract. I said, well, we'll give you a raise if you improve on all three categories. I said, well, that's pretty hard to do. I said, 93 RBIs, that's hard to do. And I said, what if I miss on one? And the guy, the owner, was sitting right there, and he said, don't worry, we'll take care of you. Okay, after this year, and I broke my leg, I go in there to re-sign my contract. I said, how about my raise? Well, wait a minute. You went from 36 to 38 home runs. You went from 287 to 311, but you dropped off in RBI. You only had 81 versus 93. I said, yeah, but you sat here and told me. No. You have it right here and right. Boy, I tell you, I learned a lesson quick there. So I come home, and I'd made up my mind, that's the last year I'm going to play in Japan. We didn't have a good enough team to win.
What year was it?
Huh?
What year would that have been?
Well, that was at the end of, that was my second year, 65, and at the end of 64, I signed a two-year contract. So I was going back, play out my contract. So, but go back over there, and now spring training, everybody said, oh, this year you hit the home run title. Yeah. You know, I'm going to play and go home. Well, a funny thing happened. We got a shortstop on that team, and before we couldn't make a double play. We lost so many games because we couldn't make a double play, and this guy hit about 200. This kid come in there, and he was hitting second. Now, I've just got enough pride in myself. This guy was always getting on base. Before, I never had anybody on base. If somebody's on base, I'm not going up there and not try. First thing I know, I'm involved, and man, we win the pennant that year just because we had a new shortstop. And I think I dropped off in 30 home runs, but still had a good year. But this one kid on the team just changed my whole outlook. So I played two more years, and then I came home 2 years, and I went back two more as a player coach. So we finally had a chance to win, and I just had enough pride that I wanted to play. And when somebody's on base all the time, it just, he pressured me into playing good.
How did the Japanese players treat the American players?
Well, there was a lot. It was different. I never really knew if they liked me completely, but my interpreter said they did. And, of course, they respected me so much. I'll never forget this. We played a lot of doubleheaders the first couple of years over there. And the Japanese are fanatics on practice. If you look good in practice, they have about four or five guys that's going to start. Now, the rest of the starting lineup depends on how you look in batting practice or infield practice. So we've had a doubleheader now. I'm 35 years old. I mean, doubleheaders, long day. So I come to the ballpark one day about 30 minutes before the game starts. And boy, they got the interpreter out there calling. They were Spencer. They're afraid I'm not going to be there. Well, I said, what's the big deal? The game don't start. But you don't have no practice. I said, don't worry. So I went out there and threw a few plays. The game started. First time up, I hit a shot off the right center field fence. The Japanese players just, well, before we take the field, well, they always had a meeting that the manager get all the Japanese players together on the steps of the dugout. Okay, we must try extra hard today. Spencer had no practice. He might not be good condition today. I'm just laughing. I can hear him. I don't know that much Japanese, but I knew what he's talking about. So when I first time up, I hit that shot off the right center field fence. I got 3-for-4 the first game and 2-for-3 the second game, and I never had to come out early for pregame practice after that. And see, I could do them things, and I didn't take exercise. They go out in August. They're out taking running sprints and doing all this stuff before the game. But the first year I went over there, I had a very short spring training. I had a great year. So they couldn't say, you need spring training. My other American player had a bad year. They made him go over there the following year, February the 1st. I went February the 28th. I said, I don't need a long practice. What can they say? I knocked in 93 runs, hit 36 home runs. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me by doing good. Now, Johnny Logan went over there. He got off to a bad start. They started changing his style. He hit 286, I think, lifetime major league shortstop. A good hitter. But they had him so confused, change this, change that. The poor guy played 1 year, and he was a mental wreck, and he came home. Mm-hmm. And I never had a batting coach in Japan talk to me and tell me to do this or do that. And the Japanese player, the great hitters, has to have the batting coach come up and talk to him every day. And so I had all that stuff off my back, American players. A lot of good players went over there and just got cracked up because somebody changing their style. You go 0-for-4, and they want you to do it the Japanese way. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate then.
Did you have one run-in with the manager? I want to get this story straight. I'm sure you remember. But it involved you either in the lineup or not in the lineup. And anyway, you wound up in the on-deck circle in your underwear or something like that.
Where'd you hear that story?
Well, I did some research.
Well, okay. You go out, you take batting practice. I got a big scoreboard up there, and they put the lineups. And my name's up there. I'm hitting third, playing first base. Okay, after infield practice, we're playing this Nankai Hawks, this team that always in the home run race against. And Don Blasingham was a coach for them. So I have to go around the dugout, go upstairs to our locker room, and I put on my game shoes and change sweatshirts, and I'm sitting there. Game starts in about 5 or 6 minutes. My interpreter comes up and he says, manager says you take rest today. Well, what are you talking about? He says, your condition not too good on this pitcher that's pitching today. He was an underarm. He was tough, but I could battle him. He probably don't give me much to hit anyhow. So I said, okay, I'm in my shorts. I take my shoes off me and when I put on my shorts, I put my Zoris on. I walk back down, and I come downstairs, and there's Blasingham standing there. He says, they're playing the national anthem. He says, where are you going? You're in the lineup. I said, my condition is no good. And the manager says, I can't play. And he laughed. I said, hey, Blazer, watch this. So I walk around, and you got to carry your own bats in Japan. And my bats are still in the rack because I think I'm going to play. So I walk in there and walk in the – it's a big room about this size, only it's open in the front, and that's the dugout, and then they got rows of benches there. So I walk, and all the players know that I'm not playing, so I walk up and I get my bats. Now the first batter is up, and the second hitter's on deck. So about the time I get my bats, the first batter makes an out. Now the second hitter, I'm on deck. I'm still up. I haven't been taken out of the game yet. So I get my bats. I go up in the on-deck circle. I'm taking my swing, and of course, national TV and everything, and the players are dying. They're laughing. And the interpreter, D, get back here. Get back here. You're not in the game. I said, my name's up there. So now it's my turn to bat, and I finally walk back, and the fans are going crazy. So that cost me $250. But the fans, they love that.
What exactly were you wearing?
I had shorts on and a T-shirt and some Zoris, you know, and little rubber shoes, and no hat or nothing, just my bats there. And I got a picture of that in my scrapbook, too. That's some of the crazy things. But I was still in the lineup. And we play that team about a week later. We play that team, the same guys pitching. I get two hits and beat them in the bottom of the ninth with a double off the right field wall. But see, this irritated me. The manager says I can't hit it. See, stuff like that, it just, in that mag, I don't know whether he was that smart to know that or what, but, and I always hit that guy pretty good. Tells me that I can't play. One year, I went over there and I didn't do that, I wasn't that enthused, so I wasn't doing that good in spring training, but I knew the season starts, you turn it on, you know, the game starts. Well, he starts this guy in place of me, and we used to call him Ole because he wouldn't get in front of a ground ball. He'd give it that Ole shot, you know. And he started about three games. I had to come in and pinch hit one game, won the game at the bottom of the ninth. And the manager, then he puts me in the lineup, sorry, and he puts me batting seventh. Just, he's trying to prove to the other players that he's the boss, and Spencer's not going to. Well, pretty soon I'm back up third and fourth. They can break you over there. And that's why it's hard for Americans to go over there. Physically, you never get tired. They got a lot of days off, but mentally, I mean, you can crack up. And I just fought the system, I guess.
After you were done in '72, was it easy adjustment for you from playing baseball for, at that point, when it had to be 23, 24 years, to more of a civilian life?
Well, really, but in my hometown, and I had made some pretty good money. Now I started losing it all in the stock market and the commodity market. And I got involved in a summer baseball program here. I went to work for a Coors distributor here, and they sponsored a summer baseball club in 74, 75, 76, 77, 78. I ran this team and I recruited players from the colleges around the country, and we won two state championships here in Wichita, and we played in the national tournament, finished third one year, and finished fifth one year. And it was kind of fun because I kind of watched some of the players grow up, and about six or seven I recruited ended up in the major leagues. And I had a few older guys, a couple of guys that had played a little pro ball. And so we had a pretty good program here. We bring the kids in from, funny, I recruited some kids from, a lot of kids from the Southwest Conference and the Southeast Conference, and you can really tell a difference in the kids, especially from the Southwest, is Mr. Spencer, yes sir. Then I got a couple of kids from the West Coast and from Arizona State. They always wanted it. Yeah, I need more money. I need a better job. I'm working too hard. Can you find me a better place to stay? And you can really tell a difference in the kids from the different sections of the country. But I had a lot of fun with that, and then we dropped the program after 78, and I'd off and on, I've worked, and a friend of mine had a bar over in a little town over here in Andover, Kansas, and I ran that for about a year and a half, and basically in the last few years just been retired, though, just kind of taking it easy. I follow sports real close, watch a lot of TV, the last couple of years, really a big part of my life, my daughter had our first grandchild. And she just had another one here recently, so that's kind of kept my wife and I involved, kind of gave us a new lease on life, because we were kind of getting kind of old and not having any grandkids, so that's filled that void.